The World Cup Daily Podcast from William Hill.
Sensacional! Fantástico! Espetacular o gol do Neymar!
All the latest betting news and tips from our team of experts in Brazil and the UK. Check out all of our audio at williamhill.com/podcast. Subscribe via iTunes or browse our channel on audioboo.fm. William Hill, the home of World Cup betting.
Yes, hello. Welcome back to the William Hill World Cup Daily Podcast. We move on to day four on Sunday and three more games to come. My name is Mark Walton. I'm joined in the studio now by Ray Druitt, and we'll also be hearing from Robbie Savage and the BBC's Darren Fletcher throughout this piece as well. Firstly, Ray, how are you, sir?
Very good, thanks, Mark. Very good. A little bit tired again, as of yesterday, but yeah, very good.
Yes, these World Cup games are doing nothing for my sleep pattern. But never mind, it's all entertaining stuff. Did you manage to stay up and watch the late game Ivory Coast against Japan?
I watched a couple of minutes,
yeah,
and that was all. Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you, I couldn't quite manage the full 90.
There were goals, though, as we expected. Over 2.5 goals did land in that.
Yeah, very good.
Ivory Coast did all right as well.
Yeah, well, I read a report this morning. Yeah. It was pretty much how we expected it to be, very, very open. Both sides are really going for it, which is great news for anyone who went on the overs and anyone who just likes football.
Football was the real winner.
Yes.
That's what it was. Let's talk about England before we move on to Sunday. They played well against Italy. I don't think anybody would have begrudged them a draw in the match. But at the end of the day, they've fallen short against a quality side in the end.
Yeah, it's fine margins, isn't it, when you get to this level. I don't think there was much between the two sides. I think England played very, very well. Again, they looked so frail in defence, which is a major... I think that's one of the major points. Italy looked strong in defence. They only gave away a few, you know, golden chances and they weren't taken, whereas when England gave away the golden chances, then, you know, they were put away. But, you know, they can't be too downbeat. The way Uruguay played in the game previous to the England kickoff, then they would fancy the chance of getting something from that. And then it's Costa Rica to qualify for the group, really. So, you know, they still stand a big chance.
Yeah. Costa Rica blowing the group wide open with a 3-1 win over Uruguay. And Steven Gerrard quite rightly said after the game that they've had to beat Uruguay anyway. So
yes.
Nothing really has changed for England.
No, not at all. All it means now is that providing Italy beat Costa Rica on Wednesday, they're pretty much qualified out the group. And then, you know, it's a case of England might have to settle for second and a potential game with Colombia in the second round as opposed to Ivory Coast. But again, there's not an awful lot to choose between those two sides. So it's not all doom and gloom. I'm sure the papers will be headlining with a few England failures, etc. today, but they can take pride in that.
Yeah, I think there was plenty of encouragement to come from the performance. We don't want to get too bogged down with yesterday's results, but I do just quickly want to get your thoughts on Wayne Rooney, because he's obviously a bit of a scapegoat for England at the moment. The fact that he hasn't scored at a World Cup yet is brought up every time he touches the ball. The left-hand side doesn't suit him. I think everybody could see that. Is it a case that if you're not playing Rooney through the middle, you don't play him at all?
Well, I was absolutely amazed. I don't see how you can justify playing Raheem Sterling centrally with all his pace, and Rooney down the left. I can understand maybe the defensive side of things, but then shift Welbeck left, put Sterling right, and then put Rooney in the centre. There's ways to work those two sides. They can't all interchange because they don't have a discipline. The two of them are very, very young in Welbeck and Sterling, so they don't have a discipline. They don't know the system well enough to change and actually stick to that system. So he should be central. And in terms of dropping him, which I'm sure will be your next question, is there anybody better? That's a question you've got to ask yourself. Is Lallana better than Rooney? Is Sterling better than Rooney?
Probably on the left-hand side, yes.
Yes, but centrally.
But if you put Rooney in the middle.
Exactly.
No.
Then that's it. You've got to play your best players. You know, you can't come to a World Cup and... It's not like Rooney's got a bad attitude and it's affecting all the other players. There doesn't seem to be that being the case anyway. There's nobody better in that position than Wayne Rooney, so play him.
Yeah. Just play him where he should play, though.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got to play him where... I can understand the left in terms of the defensive side of things, but he's hardly the fittest, is he, Wayne Rooney? And the majority of the breaks last night came down England's left and Italy's right with Candreva and Damien.
Yeah.
And they were brilliant.
They destroyed England, aren't they?
And that's probably a little bit to do with Roy as well. He should have noticed that quicker and actually changed that. So he's got to take some of the blame for that.
Hmm. Should we have taken Ashley Cole to fix the left-sided problem?
Well, I touched on it again yesterday. I don't rate Leighton Baines as an international footballer. You can't knock his last couple of years at Everton. He's been absolutely fantastic. But this is a step up. You're playing against some of the best players in the world here. And he looks short. You know, it's a shame to say it. He looks short. I'm sure he's a lovely fella. And he deserves to be in the England squad. There's no doubt about that. But Is Ashley Cole better? Yes, without a doubt.
Positionally, he's better. There are times where you could see Leighton Baines didn't know whether to go wide to his man out there or stay central and try and take care of Kandreva. So, anyway, we can't get bogged down. We must move on because there's three games on Sunday. Switzerland take on Ecuador, France play Honduras, and Argentina play Bosnia. starting with the Switzerland game, 7-5 for Switzerland, the draw 2-1, Ecuador 9-4. Before we get Ray's thoughts, let's go back to Brazil and get the thoughts of Robbie Savage and Darren Fletcher.
I mean, I just think Switzerland defensively with Hitzfeld, they're going to be very solid. I think they'll do enough to limit the opposition in terms of scoring goals against them. And while I don't get particularly excited by the other three, Ecuador, Honduras or Switzerland, you look at Switzerland's ranking, the kind of success they have when they play fixtures in Europe, I just think they'll have too much for Ecuador in this one. And I see it being France and Switzerland. And I wouldn't actually be surprised if Switzerland topped the group and France finished second, because I think Switzerland are going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, I think Switzerland will win the game. I think they'll win the game 2-0. You know, Aston Villa fans will be looking forward to seeing Senderos play. It's a really surprising move for me from Aston Villa. Lacked pace at Fulham. Went to Valencia, now he's going to be Aston Villa. Early signs of what price on Aston Villa to go down. Going off tangent a little bit, but, you know, Villa fans will be looking at Senderos. But I'm going to go for a Switzerland win and win 2-0.
Okay, both men going for a Switzerland win then. Do you back that up, Ray? Do you see Switzerland winning this?
Well, they do look quite solid defensively. Well, certainly at fullback anyway, but the central pairing potential anyway of Johan Drew and Philippe Senderov, that's got potential for disaster. It really, really has. I know England played a weaker side against Ecuador, but they look good, Ecuador. They obviously scored a fantastic goal through Areo, wasn't it? But they created chances all game. There's a player I really like for Ecuador called Jefferson Montero. He has a slight injury doubt today. If he starts, I think that swings it in the favour of Ecuador. I can see why a lot of people like the Swiss. They've got some decent players, obviously Shaqiri being the obvious one. Stock is good, and Djemic just had a fantastic season for Nuremberg. But they're all relatively unproven at international level. And we've seen it already with some of these South American sides. They seem to more than hold their own. I know Costa Rica are more Central American, but they more than held their own yesterday as well. So I think if Jefferson Montero starts, I would play the draw no bet on Ecuador.
Okay, draw no bet on Ecuador then. Ecuador are 9-4 to win the match. I'm just trying to find the price on draw no bet. Ecuador 23-20 in the draw no bet match.
Yeah, I like it because I think they're quite expansive. You know, they play football the right way. Obviously, that's no good for radio because I'm doing the the inverted commas. Yeah. But you know, they do play the football the right way. And Switzerland are ranked 6th in the FIFA rankings. Now, they shouldn't be that high. You know, they're an okay side. I think the winner of this game will end up probably finishing second to France in this group. And I think, again, it's quite similar. I think they'll probably take a draw. They know if they win it, they give themselves a massive chance. But I think that's why the draw no bet's a big player here, because this is one of the games that is very, very tight to call. And I'm just siding with Ecuador because the way that I know it was against a weakened England, but the way they played and how expansive they can be.
Okay. Ecuador to win against Switzerland then, or back them on the Ecuador draw no bet market. Moving on to the other game, France against Honduras. France are 1-3, the draw 7-2, Honduras 10-1. And let's start with Robbie and Darren Fletcher again over in Brazil.
You got to say France. I think France, Fletcher's got a good view on France in terms of team spirit. I think individually they've got some fantastic players. I think they'll win the game. I think they'll win the game 2-0. But Fletch, you know, on France?
Yeah, I think what Didier Deschamps done is he's brought in a lot of the techniques that his managers at Juventus when he was a player used to use. He's tried to treat the French setup as a club side. So alternating room partners and all that kind of thing. People sitting at different tables each night for dinner. Because obviously the problem with France in the past hasn't been talent, it's been togetherness. It was kind of what blighted the Dutch decades ago. Now this seems to be an issue for the French. It seems to be that he's got a good spirit, hence probably why he's left Nasri out, one of the people who was an issue. There's only really Patrice Evra from the 2010 squad who went on strike, etc., infamously in South Africa. So they seem to be together. One of the players I'm looking forward to in this World Cup is Antoine Griezmann from Real Sociedad. Wide left player, scores plenty of goals, might be in the Premier League next season. No Franck Ribéry, but I'm told that that might actually make France a better unit. If that's the case, I think I agree with you. They beat Honduras, and I think if they can keep the togetherness and the spirit right in the camp, there's certainly the talent to make a bit of an impression on the tournament.
Yeah, so positive comments for France then. As we've seen in the past, France sometimes their own worst enemies in terms of mentality of the squad and people falling out with each other. As Darren Fletcher's quite rightly said, they've made a squad that's probably should be more harmonious. Do you think that'll lead to France having a successful tournament?
I do, yeah. I got absolutely laughed out the studio when I...
Lambasted!
Yeah, when I tipped the French up for an outside World Cup winner. Lee Phelps and Delph Kainer. Dave Kellner would not leave me alone, pointing fingers at me. Ollie Pimlott, he's been having a go. Everybody, yeah. But I think Darren Fletcher's hit the nail on the head there. They've got a very very unified squad. They're big players with the exception of Ribery. In fact, Benzema, Kabay and Pogba and Matuidi in the middle. They're a bit suspect at the back, but those four can certainly win a game on their own. I think, and again, they've got an easy draw. If they get out this group and they top the group, they'll probably play Bosnia in a second round, and yeah. it's the quarters before they have a real test. So yeah. I think the French can go far.
Yeah, 1-3 to beat Honduras. They warmed up with an emphatic 8-0 win over Jamaica the other day as well, and it all looked rosy after that. Would you take the 1-3 here? There must be some better value in there somewhere.
Yeah, I think the French could turn it on today. Okay. I'd probably be looking at them to win both halves. I think they'll start quickly. You know, they need to kind of get these get the goals in early in this. You don't want to be at halftime 0-0 and then really having to push for the game. And the French have got so many goal scorers in there. And Benzema, obviously, one of them. Darren Fletcher just touched on Griezmann there. He's got 3 goals in 4 appearances for France, so he'll be a threat. And Pogba, Kabay and Matuidi, going forward, they're absolutely fantastic. And we saw with Honduras, their aim against England was just to kick people. You know, they're not going to do much going forward. So you can look at the handicaps, maybe -1 France. Maybe as deep as -2 if you want. Maybe a win to nil market here. I don't think the Hondurans offer much at all. I know the French are a little bit weak at the back, so you've got to be a bit careful with that. But yeah, I think the French win this very very comfortably.
Okay, to win both halves, France are 17-10. You mentioned the handicap markets as well, so I'll just scroll back up to those. France minus a goal on the match handicap is 10-11. France minus 2 goals is 13-5.
The 10-11 -1. You know, you look at some of the matches we've had so far of the bigger sides against the weaker sides. You know, the handicaps would have landed a few times already in this tournament. I'm thinking Chile, Australia, maybe perhaps even Brazil, Croatia. You know, significantly stronger side against a weaker opposition, if you will. And that's being generous to Brazil, calling them significantly stronger than Croatia. But yeah, I think the French -1 at 10-11. I'd also look at Blaise Matuidi to score any time as well. I think he scored 2 in the 8-0 victory of Jamaica recently. And he scored against Holland in a friendly just a few months ago as well. He does like to get forward. He does more of a sitting role at PSG, but with Pogba and Kabay in there, that all three of them, they've got a very, very good relationship. All three of them know when to go. They know when to sit. Blaise Matuidi, as I say, he looks in form and he generally does spend a lot of time around the opposition box.
Yeah, 5-1 to score any time.
That's too big for me. I think especially when they're going to commit so many men forward, and you'd expect them to. Most people would be thinking France will probably get 2 or 3 today. So yeah, plays Matuidi 5-1 any time.
Okay. Interestingly, just looking at the betting, for some reason France to win 7-0 has been suspended at 200-1. So maybe we're getting a lot of money on France to win 7-0.
Perhaps. Yeah. And this French team, by the way, it looks like it's already been released as well. I was reading on Twitter this morning. It will be. According to my sources, just general sources, really. Hugo Lloris, Debuchy, Varane, Sacco and Evra, Matuidi, Pogba and Kabay, and then Valbuena, Griezmann and Benzema. So Giroud had been dropped, because in that Jamaica game, Giroud played in the number 9,
yeah.
And Benzema was pushed left, which is why it was very impressive that he still managed to score 2 and set 3 up in that 8-0 demolition of Jamaica, did carrying Benzema. But it looks like that will be the 11 that will be started tonight, and Giroud will be on the bench.
Okay, well, that's of interest for the headline offer as well, then. Karim Benzema to score and France to win is 11-8.
Also very, very appealing. You know, he's got 21 goals in 66 games. He had a very, very poor Euros.
Yeah.
He's come off the back of a really decent season with Real. So I think, 11-8 on Benzema and France to win looks very good as well.
Okay. Best bet in that?
I think I would take the the minus one on France. I didn't expect it to be. It's just a touch odds on, but 10-11 is very good. But the big price play has got to be Matuidi anytime.
Okay, fair enough. And moving on to the final game this evening, it's an 11 o'clock kickoff. Argentina against Bosnia. Argentina are 4-11. The draw 19-5. Bosnia 15-2. Argentina are a lot of people's fancies to win the World Cup. First game this evening. Do you see them getting off to a winning start?
I do, yeah. Bosnia are strong. You know, they're going to be disciplined at the back. But their defence is quite slow. And if you're coming up against Messi, Aguero and Di Maria, you don't want to be slow. That's the last thing you want to be. You know, you can maybe afford to not be good in the air if you're good on the deck. But these guys are really going to struggle against the front three, or three of the front four, yeah, against Argentina tonight. They really are.
Okay, so Argentina, you expect to win?
Definitely, yep.
Yeah. Comfortably?
Yeah. Again, I would be looking at the minus one. I wouldn't go too far. Into any deep handicaps, because again, with the Argentina defence, you know they are capable of a slip up. Even though Di Michaelis probably won't start, Zabaleta, Fernandez, Gary, and Rojo will probably be the back line, but again, always suspect. So yeah, again, minus one would probably be the deepest you should be going here for me.
Minus one is 10-11. Do you see both teams scoring then? You just mentioned that Argentina might be a bit weak at the back. They've got some fairly decent attackers, Bosnia, the likes of Dzeko that we all know about.
Yeah, well, they've actually... I know they haven't played too many decent players, too many decent teams, in the last four games, but they beat Slovenia 2-0. They beat Trinidad and Tobago 3-0. They drew with Romania 0-0. And they beat Bosnia in a friendly 2-0. So they're not actually conceding too many goals at all, which is very surprising considering the personnel they've got. And Bosnia are not... They were free scoring in qualifying, but in friendlies recently, they failed to score against Egypt. Only scored scored two against the Ivory Coast, but only scored one against Mexico. So, I know if it's an odds against price, I would take the both teams to score. If it's odds on, I wouldn't be taking it.
Right. Well, I was just thinking along the lines of Argentina to win and both teams to score. That's 9-4. If you just bear with me while I get the both teams to score market up just on the match. Both teams to score even money.
I could see that as a price play, definitely. I always think if a both teams to score is over even money, then I think you should be looking into it, because it takes a second to score a goal. Australia scored against Chile. Probably no one expected that. Costa Rica scored against Uruguay, or should I say Uruguay scored against Costa Rica. No one expected that. you know, there's generally... And both teams to score, obviously, is... well, certainly over 2.5 goals has landed in every game but one so far in this tournament. Yeah. So you've got to be looking at things like that. And as you rightly said, they've got the personnel to score goals. Dzeko, 35 in 62 caps. And it looks like Ibisevic will be on the bench, and he's obviously had a fantastic season again, and again a very good goal scoring record at international level, 20 goals in 55. But the bet that I think the biggest bet for me, and this will go along the lines of many people's tournaments bets, would be Angel Di Maria, man of the match today. I think he is arguably one of the biggest players in this Argentina team. The role he's playing, the position he's playing. And he's going to be, the majority of things actually going to be going through him. You know, he's going to be the transition between getting the defensive players in Mascherano and Gago and getting it to the front men and actually joining in on those. So I think he's going to play a massive part.
Okay. The man of the match market is headed by Lionel Messi, who's even money. Angel Di Maria is 5-1 with Sergio Aguero. Higuain 11-2, 14s for Dzeko. Any goalkeeper 16-1, 16-1 for Lavezzi, and 20s or bigger prices the rest are 5-1 for Di Maria.
And that's why I think this market's so good, because Messi takes up such a chunk of the market. You know, there's no doubt he is the best player in the world, probably. Yeah. Well, that's open for debate, of course. I'm sure people will disagree.
He's in the top two at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. definitely in the top two. So he takes up a massive chunk of the market. So there's no doubt if Messi performs, then there's a big chance he will get it. But 5-1 the field, you know, I think I would be taking Di Maria at 5-1. I think he's going to have a massive, massive tournament.
Okay. Messi to score and Argentina to win. He's 11-10, by the way, on the headline offers. Because he's always very, very short to score. He's 8-11 to score any time. So.
What's Di Maria to score any time as well?
Di Maria to score any time, 9-4.
Yes, again, 9-4, decent value on Di Maria there. Obviously, we all hope Aguero starts. We all hope he's fit enough to get amongst the goals as well.
Okay, well, that's the thoughts of Ray. For the final time on this podcast, let's go back to Robbie Savage and Darren Fletcher.
I think with Dzeko up front, I think they'll have a go, but you've got to look at Argentina, and I think two massive players for them is that midfield area. People going about Aguero, Higuain and Messi, but it's Gago and Mascherano, and then Di Maria breaking from the left-hand side. You know, 1978 team with Kempes and Ozzie Ardiles in midfield. Very, very similar lineup in terms of the way they play. And Di Maria Kempes, you know, that he's got a massive role to play, Di Maria. And I think Argentina win the World Cup. I think they'll win this game. I think both teams to score, but Argentina to win.
But I think Argentina comfortably against Bosnia. I think they stroll through the group. And I think the big thing for me is, if you've had a little nibble on Messi or Aguero or Higuain to be top scorer, this is where they've got to score the goals, because they've got a weak group and should score lots of goals. And this might be something that people look at. This might be where the top scorer comes from. The golden boot may well come from this Argentina side.
Okay, so both going for Argentina, both fancy plenty of goals for Argentina as well. So there you go. Anything else just to add on this game, Ray? What would be your best bet for Argentina against Bosnia?
Again, I think the -1 at 10-11 is the best price. But again, as a price play, I would be playing Di Maria man of the match at 5-1.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Ray. Plenty of markets there. What will be a standout bet for Sunday at the World Cup?
Standout bet for Sunday, I think it will be the French -1 at 10-11. I think they should be a lot shorter than that to beat a very, very poor Honduras side.
Hmm. Fair enough. Good stuff, Ray. Thank you very much. Enjoy it on Sunday.
Cheers, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Ray Druitt on today's World Cup matches. You'll hear them on InPlay Radio. Good luck if you're having a bet. Enjoy today's action. And we'll be back tomorrow with the next edition of the World Cup Daily Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.